that you haven't all been put off by the cold. There's good news coming. I'm sure you've seen on the notices that there are people going to come into this building and fix new heaters for us. So keep on coming and wait to be warmed even more than you already are. So, in line with what I introduced a few weeks ago about prayer, I'm speaking this morning about intercession. So a few little questions. Are prayer and intercession the same thing? Are praying and interceding the same, or are they different? What is intercession anyway? And to answer these questions, I'm going to put a slide up. To answer these questions that I've struggled with over the years myself, and I'm sure that you have. I've been reading a lot about prayer in the last month, and especially in preparation for this sermon, which I've titled, God in Us, Bringing the Frayed Edges of Humanity Together into the Hands of an All-Powerful God. I've been reading Brian and Candice Simmons. Brian's the man who is responsible for the Passion Translation of the Bible. Their insightful book, Throne Room Prayer, is a challenging read. If you want to be challenged, and actually, there's some of it that I don't quite get, have a read, The Throne Room Prayer. I've also read again parts of Rhys Howell's Intercessor by Norman Grubb, a classic and exciting book about the ministry of this great man of prayer. If you have a desire to pray into the deep things of God's heart, this book is an absolute must for being inspired by the breakthroughs that he experienced as he interceded with others for the nations. Also, readings about George Muller and the orphans that he housed and took care of in Bristol, and how he trusted that when he prayed, God provided. And God always provided for all of their needs without fail. I read part that if there was only enough food for 30 children, and he was number 31 of the people in the room, he would go without. Because he was the one who was trusting for God to provide for their needs as well as his own. Richard Foster's book, Prayer, and A Simple Journey to Victorious Prayer by Bill Thrasher, An Intercessory Prayer by Dutch Sheikhs, and Grace Outpouring by Roy Godwin. I could go on and on, but these are just a few of my favourite books about prayer. And of course, the Bible itself. So as we come to think of what the Lord's saying to us today, let's pray. Father, we open our hearts and our minds and our lives to what it is that you want to impart to us today. Come and speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Would you give clarity in our minds as to what it is that you're speaking through this, your humble servant. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this quest to discover if prayer and intercession are one and the same, or different, or the same, let's look at prayer first. Jesus calls us to prayer. It's a command. He taught his disciples how to pray. And we're exhorted by Paul to pray without ceasing and on all occasions. Prayer is our coming before God and acknowledging that he is, or who he is, and who we are in light of who he is. And laying our needs, ourselves, and the needs of the world before him. We've just done that in our intercessions. And in the prayer that Jesus taught us, we start by telling God who he is. Yes, you are our Father in heaven, and you are holy. We pray for his kingdom to come, for the things of heaven, of his presence to be manifest here on earth. Healing, provision, freedom, peace, all of our needs, the needs of mankind, on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for our needs for our daily bread. We pray for forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, receiving forgiveness and apportioning our forgiveness to others. As we receive, so we give. We ask that we would not be led into temptation, into doing things that are contrary to God's good and perfect will for us. And in coming in line with God, we ask that we won't come under the influence of the evil one, who really just wants to destroy us. Instead, we bring ourselves before the one who's come to give us life in all of its fullness. And we acknowledge that it is he who has all of the power and the glory forever and always. That's prayer. That's what we do. We're told to pray in the Spirit at all times. So are prayer and intercession the same thing? What does it mean to intercede for someone or a situation? A main difference between prayer and intercession, or maybe it's not a difference, I'm going to leave you to decide that, is that we intercede for and on behalf of someone else, not ourselves. We stand in the gap. In as Isaiah 59, there's a verse that says, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation and his righteousness upheld him. The prophet is speaking here of Jesus, the one who was at that time still to come, the one who we celebrate the coming of and look forward to the second coming. There's an entering into Jesus's role with him when we intercede. We enter into God's heart, seeking to know the things of his heart and to feel and pray what is on his heart. To feel from the depth of our soul, to know the Holy Spirit in us, God in us, crying out for that situation, whatever it is, bringing it before him. And we enter into that situation that we're praying into. You could say that prayer is a little like skimming a stone, that we set out to reach a destination, a desired result. We take hold of the flattest, we've all done it, I'm sure, flattest, smoothest stone. We take an aim and we hurl it across the river to the other bank, on top of the water, to get God's attention, where he may or may not answer our prayer. I don't know if you get that analogy. We're trying to get God's attention and we want our prayers to hit the mark. If it hits home, then it's a good one. If it sinks, then we select another and we try again. We may see the result. We may experience the answer to our prayers. This is a faith gift that God gives us because we've put our trust in him. Prayer is like this. Intercession is something akin to that, yet a little different. Maybe like taking a great big stone, one that you can barely lift, something that's weighty, and you purposefully send it out into the deep and it sinks into the depths of God's heart to discover what is held there and to embrace what his desire is for that situation. It's what Richard Foster describes as the prayer of the heart. It's a prayer of intimacy, the prayer of love and tenderness of a child to Father God. As it says in Luke 13, verse 34, like the mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wings, we, through the prayers of the heart, Allow God to gather us to himself, to hold us, to speak to us, to love us. This prayer of the heart is quite simply the Holy Spirit praying within us. And it's he who sustains it, not we. He sustains the prayer. Our simple words fail us. We may struggle to express our heart because often what is on God's heart is beyond our understanding. In our reading, we heard of the Spirit groaning with words that cannot be uttered. This is when the Holy Spirit intercedes within us and for us with expressions, with groanings, with language, which and words that are beyond our own minds. I know that when I can't express with words what I sense in God's heart, that's when I have to pray in tongues. In my heavenly language, the language given to us by the Holy Spirit, by his presence within us. God in us, bringing the frayed edges of humanity together into the hands of an all-powerful God. When I pray in the Spirit, sometimes he gives me words that I'm able to speak out. Words I do understand that he wants me to express. I'm talking about me, because it's my experience. I know that it's the experience of many here as well. He gives me words that will edify and encourage others to pray along. And at other times, I have nothing to say of understanding. My own words, my own mind isn't edified. It's not encouraged. But when I continue to pray, to press in to God from my heart, in tongues and often with tears, I experience a breakthrough in the heavenly realms. I know that God has responded to my prayer. Or actually, he's responded to what's already in his heart. I know that it makes sense to some here. It's the gift of intercession, which is spoken of by George Muller as the grace of faith. I just want to explain a little bit about this. When we hear someone's need, we may be moved in our spirit to pray for them. And we do so with an expectation and hope that God in his goodness will bring healing and transformation to their circumstances and their lives. If he does, we rejoice. It's his gift to us, his gift of faith, which I mentioned earlier. But for the intercessor, there's a kind of prayer which goes beyond hoping. It's a prayer of believing, of knowing, because of the intimate connection which comes with persistence and perseverance in the place of trust. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. On the walls, O Jerusalem, I have set a watchman on the day, all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. Bill Thrasher says about this passage, true prayer begins with God. It's the Lord who encourages his people to take no rest for themselves as they remind him of his promises in prayer. Indeed, he tells them to give him no rest until he does what he's promised to do. God is seen as both the initiator in giving the promise to his people and in encouraging his people to pray the promises to him. How do we know his promises? I remember as a very young Christian, not young in age, but young in new age, new birth age, somebody saying, pray the promises of God, you can't go wrong. And I said, how do I know what the promises are? I had a Bible, but how do I start? Where do you find the promises of God? Well, you read the word, don't you? But you know, there's brilliant Bible apps nowadays. Just type in there, promises of God, and you'll have reading plans that come up, and they'll tell you exactly where the promises of God are in the Bible. And there are many books you can buy. So by consuming the word of God, we find his heart. By listening, when we pray, we discover his promises. Instead of talking to him, and just talking to him, telling him our heart without waiting to hear what's on his, we cut off that connection where we need to know his heart to intercede into a situation. But when we ask him what's on his heart and wait for his answer, we'll hear him. However it is that he knows that we will listen. So through his word, we respond as we read and relay what we read back to God. We can actually tell him what it is that his word says. You said that I am to give you no rest until, so I'm going to keep coming to you on this. You said to knock and the door will be opened to me. You said that you would never leave me, so I know that you are here standing in our midst and that the effect of the fall has no dominion over me. So you in me and I in you, us together. And I receive that you what you have promised, and I stand in your truth. We can declare those things because they're in his word, so they are spirit and truth. I will not be silent, Lord. I will bring the frayed edges of humanity to you for you to heal and restore the relationship that we had with you before the deceiver came to mess it all up. Speak to him his promises and know that he responds to that because it's his word. Another way that we hear is in our spirit, in our inner man, in the deep places of our heart. There's a couple of people who I pray for regularly. And my eyes tear up when I do. Because I know and feel the love that Father has for them. I'm thinking of two particular people. When I bring them before God, I usually find myself weeping softly. It's as if my prayers are coming together with their grandmother's prayers. A woman who I know prayed for these people. I feel her love for them and Father's love for them. My heart breaks and my prayers run out of words and I just cry. As we stand in the gap between God and any given situation, we bring those power cables together. And boom, God does the rest. I'm so expectant that before we leave Aberystwyth, these two people are going to be set free from their afflictions and will be restored to who they haven't yet realized they are in Christ Jesus. We bring humanity together with God so that his power can draw them to him in a way that only he can. So that all of the glory goes to him. All of the glory goes to him. To conclude, well, almost. You all got, oh, good. Do you want to stand up and turn around? Come on, stand up, turn around. Get warm. I remember this happening before. Everybody was really tight, cold, and nobody's cold, so they're not standing up. I've given you the opportunity. There we are. That's fine. You can't complain later that you were too cold. Right, to conclude-ish. When we pray, we acknowledge who God is and who we are in him and call on his name to do the exceeding abundantly more than we can ask for or imagine. With the hope that he will, because of his great love for all of the saints, answer those prayers. When we intercede, we come into the deep places of God's heart, and we pray according to his spirit, sometimes with groanings which are beyond our restricted language and reasoning. It is a gift of grace. As we stand between God and whatever the situation which is totally outside of ourselves, for God to intervene with his power. Can I just illustrate this as I draw almost to a close with a story I read of an intercessor being woken up in the middle of the night with a vision of a compound, as in an area around a building. It was being surrounded by a mob carrying flaming torches who'd come to burn down the house and all of its occupants in it. The intercessor prayed that this evil would be turned back and that no harm would come to the people or the property. After prevailing in prayer for a couple of hours, the burden to pray lifted and the intercessor went back to sleep. The next day, a report came from another continent. The report came of the exact situation that had been given in the vision. And at the very time that the intercessor prayed, the mob put down their torches and peaceably walked away from the compound. The only connection between the situation and another continent and the intercessor was God, was the Lord himself. I wonder, do you want to be used like this? You may not get the report back, but to intercede until you know the release is enough, as you know that heaven has given a resounding yes and amen to your prayers. To pray is a command that we respond to in love. Intercession is a powerful gift of grace. As I've spoken about this morning, the prayer of the heart, bringing the frayed edges of humanity together into the hands of an all-powerful God. If your heart has been warmed and you have a stirring to discover the deeper things of God's heart and a desire to listen to him more as you pray, then can I ask, can we do a risky thing? Can I ask that you come to the side here as we go back into worship? Because I'd like to lay hands on you and pray for you for three things, which is one really. For the Holy Spirit to release you in your prayer language, if that's not yet your experience. For you to have your ears opened to his voice as you pray. For the gift of intercession to be birthed in you. And with that I close. Father, thank you for this gift of grace that you've given us. Thank you that we can pray. That we can come heart to heart and face to face with you. And know those things of your heart. And see things here on earth shifted as we press in to heaven. We love you, Lord. Come and do in us the more, the exceedingly more than we can hope for or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.